Well, let's pray again as we turn to God's word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what difference does knowing the God of the Bible make to you? If you don't know the God of the Bible yet, what sort of difference do you think knowing him might make? How is knowing this God, the God of the Bible, the God who is actually there, how is knowing him different from worshipping a made-up God? I wonder, do you fear that maybe this God might be a little bit stingy, a bit of a spoil sport? Are you maybe put off from Christianity because it seems like God might be out there to stop you from enjoying your fun? If you're a Christian, how do you imagine this God is like? What do you think your heavenly Father is really like? In Ecclesiastes, which we've been looking at in recent weeks, the teacher has been showing us God in a way that we might not have thought about him before. And in this morning's passage, teacher sums up his message before the book concludes in next week's section. And we can summarise the teacher's summary in just two words. Enjoy and remember. Enjoy and remember. So firstly, in chapter 11, verses 7 to 10, he calls us to enjoy. Verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. In Derek Kidner's words, this verse is all about the bliss of being alive. The blazing daylight, eyes that can look and enjoy that daylight. Right at the start of creation, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the teacher is pointing us, therefore, to the goodness of God's creation. The blessing of waking up to see the colours of the dawn. Even in the UK, we've been enjoying a lot of that recently. When it's greyer in the UK, I might think back to when we visited the south of Spain, visited a town called Vella de la Frontera. Panoramic views from the top of a hill. The warm, sunny haze, even at the end of October. And the mountains of Morocco in the distance. Perhaps at the moment, you are itching for a time when you can get out and spend a few days in the lakes again. God has blessed us with a beautiful world to enjoy. Verse 9. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Be happy, the teacher says. Elsewhere in Ecclesiastes, that same word is translated enjoy. Enjoy the days that God gives you. In this passage, there's a particular focus on those who are young. You may have noticed it as Beth read the passage. The young are often those who have the best opportunities to enjoy God's creation. They might have the gap year trip. They might have the energy to climb up more mountains. They might have the flexibility and the time to learn new skills. But it's not a message only for the young. Verse 8, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. That same word, enjoy, once again. Don't waste those years. Enjoy them. Why? But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. That word meaningless, as we've seen throughout the series, is better translated a vapour, a mist that is gone before we can grasp hold of it. And all of our lives are like that. One day, darkness will close in on each one of us. But while it's light, the teacher says, enjoy that light. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. See, God is not a stingy God. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to find enjoyment. If you're young, then make the most of that great blessing. And if you're older, but you're still young enough to be mentally active, physically active, relationally active, then make the most of those God-given blessings. So what might that look like? Well, verse 9, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. So what does it mean by following the ways of our heart? Does he mean live a life of godless hedonism, if that's what your heart desires? Well, look at the language. Verse 7 spoke about God's creation gift of light. Verse 8 spoke about the darkness of death, when we no longer see that light. And now in verse 9, he tells us to follow whatever your eyes see. What do our eyes see if we have light and not darkness? We see the brilliant creation, the light, the creation that God has made. We see the abundant good things that God has given us in our world to enjoy. And as verse 9 concludes, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. If God is going to bring us into judgment, then the teacher clearly can't be telling us to live a godless life. No, he's calling us to enjoy the many good things that God has given us. So he's calling us to enjoy sitting in the garden on a sunny day, to enjoy looking at the cloud formations, which are unique and different even moment by moment. Enjoy the glorious blueness when there's a cloudless sky. Enjoy getting the barbecue out and smelling the smells and savouring the burgers and the sausages. Enjoy the opportunity to go for a run if you're able to do that. Enjoy the holiday at the sea when we're able to do that again. Enjoy going to the football game. Enjoy going to the theatre. Enjoy going to see your favourite band. Enjoy time connecting with friends and family on the Zoom facility. Enjoy reading your Bible and getting to know God better and talking to him in prayer. Enjoy using the gifts that he's given you to serve and love other people. Enjoy coming together physically with fellow Christians on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, as soon as we're able to be back together again like that. Enjoy taking a whole day off from your work to rest and to worship God each week. And most of all, enjoy him. What is the purpose that God made every one of us for? Well, as the Westminster Catechism famously puts it, the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But there's also another way that the command to enjoy connects to God's judgment. Did you notice what I said? The command to enjoy. The theme of enjoyment is not a new one in Ecclesiastes. We've seen it a number of times. Chapter 3, verse 22. So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work. Chapter 5, verse 19. When God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and to be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. Chapter 8, verse 15. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. All the same word as here in verse 8 and verse 9. But there's a difference this time. This enjoyment is now not just being described, it is being commanded. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. That is a command. You who are young, be happy. Enjoy while you are young. That is a command. Now, what an extraordinarily generous God we have. He commands our enjoyment. Think back to your childhood. Think about what foods you were made to eat, even though you really hated it. I'm sure we could all probably think of something. Eat your carrots and peas, there's the command. And then maybe I'll let you have a chocolate. But imagine instead it being put this way. Imagine this command. I want to give you some chocolate. Enjoy it. Why does God command our enjoyment? Well, you see, if we refuse to enjoy these good things, then really we are refusing the things that our God and Father wants to give us. And that is sin. Verse 9, therefore God will bring us to judgment. Romans 1 verse 21 tells us that right at the heart of our human sin is that we don't give thanks to God. In Philippians chapter 2, God calls out the sin of grumbling. To grumble, to be unthankful, to reject God's good gifts, including his physical gifts, is disobedience. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's false teachers who forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Let's say that you send a Thunderbird 3 model to a child that you know for their birthday. And when it's been opened, you appreciate if you get a little card saying thank you. But how much more do you appreciate it if you get a photo or a video of the child enjoying it, playing with it? If you visited the child 6 months later and it was bruised and battered because it had been played with so much, you'd be delighted, wouldn't you? But imagine it was just sitting there, wrapped up in its wrapping, sitting on the wall, pristine, like an ornament. You would be rightly upset. You'd think, well, was my gift not very good? Did I make a bad choice? Why did I waste my money buying it? So think, therefore, how insulting it is to God when we do not enjoy the gifts that he's given us to enjoy. Think again about that list of examples a few minutes ago. But let's put them slightly differently. Enjoy the gift God has given you of sitting in the garden on a sunny day. Enjoy the gift that God has given you of the blueness or the clouds in the sky. Enjoy the gift that God has given you of that barbecue in the back garden. Enjoy the gift that God has given you of being able to go for a run. Enjoy the gift that God has given you of connecting with friends or family on Zoom. Enjoy the gift God has given you of reading your Bible and getting to know God better and getting to know your Father. Enjoy the gift God has given you of taking a whole day each week away from our normal lives to rest and to worship God. Can I ask you, how grateful are you for all these good things that God gives you? Or are you like me and do you often take them for granted? And especially, do we enjoy God's greatest gift, his gift of himself? In Philippians, God says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And that too is a command. Let's ask God to help us to enjoy the immeasurable gift of knowing him personally, because that is real life, what real life is all about. Verse 10. "So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless." Again, the vapour of life. Youth and vigour will soon pass, so enjoy God's good gifts now. Is there a sense that, generally speaking, the younger we are, the less we feel that sense of how brief our lives are? We think there'll be plenty of time in the future to do all the things that we really want to do. Life seems to stretch out before us, and failing health, approaching the grave, those things just seem so far off in the distance. But the wise person, of whatever age they might be, takes to heart the reality that her life is no more than a passing mist. And so she grabs hold of the gifts that God gives her today. God commands your enjoyment. And if you're sitting thinking, "Oh, how I failed in this. How rubbish I am at enjoying God's gifts. How rubbish I am at being thankful to God for these things." Remember, these things are not meant to be a burden. This command is not meant to be a burden. Remember the greatest gift that God has given you, that gift of his own Son, who came to take that burden of sin completely away from you. And so now, knowing that your sin is completely forgiven in Jesus, enjoy him and enjoy all the things that he loves to give you. That is God's first command in this passage. Enjoy. And then in chapter 12, in the second command, remember. Verse 1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Now, plenty of Bible passages encourage us to remember God. But why specifically does the teacher call us to remember God, our Creator? It's a reminder again that God made a good world. Back in Genesis chapter 2, the Garden of Eden. So many good trees to eat from and enjoy. What was the heart of their sin in the garden? The heart of it was they were not satisfied with God's gifts. They wanted something more. They believed the serpent when he told them that, frankly, God is a little bit stingy. And so the teacher is saying, remember your Creator, who has made you to enjoy him and to enjoy the many good gifts that he gives you. Remember him now, before those creation gifts start to come undone. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, "I find no pleasure in them." Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. There's that theme again. The goodness of light, God's good creation. And as our bodies get older, that good creation is being undone. The sun and the moon and the light and the stars no longer bringing us the light that they were designed to do. This is life in our fallen, broken world. What begins to happen as the decades roll on? Verse 3. The keepers of the house tremble. The prospect of an intruder becomes more and more scary. The strong men stoop. The muscles that not long ago were being toned in the gym, that somehow they have given way to stumbling along with a walking frame. Those looking through the window grow dim. They cannot see the beautiful sights that once their healthy eyes enabled them to enjoy more fully. They rise up at the sound of birds. They used to enjoy staying up till 12, 1, 2 in the morning, and knowing that they'd be able to get a sound sleep. But now they're in bed by 10 o'clock, maybe by 9 o'clock, and they sleep fitfully. Their night is broken, and by 5 in the morning, they are wide awake, and they're not getting back to sleep again. They're afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. Not so long ago, they were bounding up Mount Snowdon. But now, even the staircase is a place to fear. Not so long ago, they enjoyed being out at night. But now, staying at home feels a lot safer. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred. Things that once used to invigorate us and now they no longer have quite that same appeal. Now, of course, we prefer not to think about these things until finally we're forced to do so. Multi-million dollar industries get their money by preying on on people's desires to pretend that these things are not really going to happen. But who are we really fooling? We prize youth and strength and athleticism in our society, don't we? Our gods are the Ronaldos and the Messis of the football world, who are young and strong. But how quickly times change. When I was growing up, Gary Lineker was the great English hero. And now he's a grey-haired TV presenter on the verge of turning 60. And every few years we hear about another of the 1966 World Cup heroes who has died. Or think of the once fresh-faced heartthrob Paul McCartney, who's soon going to be 80. Teacher calls the young to see that reality. And so to remember your creator and enjoy the good gifts of youth that God has blessed you with now. Now, whatever your numerical age is, if you still have some energy, if you still have some emotionally, physically, creatively energy, well, remember the Creator who has given you those things and make the most of enjoying them now. And what about those who find that these verses actually are all too real right now for us? Derek Kidner in his commentary puts it like this. All this will come at a stage where there is no longer the resilience of youth or the prospect of recovery to offset it. In one's early years and the greater part of life, troubles and illnesses are chiefly setbacks, not disasters. One expects that the sky will clear eventually. It is hard to adjust to the closing of that long chapter. To know that now, in the final stretch, there will be no improvement. The clouds will always gather again. And time will no longer heal, but kill. Now, if that is where you are in your life, can remembering your Creator help you to enjoy even this stage of life? Well, let's think, what can we still do even at that time? We can look back with thankfulness for all the many good gifts that God's given us in the past. We can appreciate the good things that God has given us that we still do have now. Not the least, if you're a Christian, the gift of being God's adopted child. Having him as your father. Having Jesus as your elder brother. Gifts which will never fade, even when our bodies slowly crumble. And also we can look forward to the resurrection bodies which Jesus has ready for us and which he will give us when he returns. Savour the prospect of seeing the Lord Jesus soon. Savour the prospect of having lungs full of air to belt out his praise. Savour the prospect of being able to run and run with endless energy. The day is coming when you will be able to enjoy those good gifts in all their abundance. But before that, this life under the sun must come to its inevitable conclusion. Verse 5. Then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about their streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. This is the horrible reality that results from human sin. Genesis chapter 3. You will return to the ground, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. That is where humanity's sin has got us. That is where humanity's refusal to gratefully receive God's good gifts to us has got us. In verse 8, the teacher sums up his message with the same words that he began with right back in chapter 1. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Or more accurately translated, vapour, mist, says the teacher. Everything is temporary. As Moses prays in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to accept the briefness of our days. Teach us, Lord, to remember our Creator who made us and who gave us so many good things to enjoy. And while we have breath, teach us, Lord, to go out and enjoy all those good things.